This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Score!
Welcome back to another Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is former NFBC main event co-champion Dylan White from the fighting city of Toronto, standing 6'7", 220 pounds of pure strength. What's going on, Dylan? Might have exaggerated on the height.
I'm okay. It's getting cold up here now, December. It's been a pretty mild fall, so it was bound to happen. But it's December and it gets dark early, but it's the hot stove season. So
I was gonna say, it gets cold in Massachusetts and Toronto, where we're both located as we record this. But the hot stove is struck up, baby. We got some stuff going on. We got the winter meetings next week, which there's a chance that maybe we don't record next week, Dylan, because I will be in Dallas for the winter meetings myself. So we'll see if I can fit that into my busy schedule on Monday or Tuesday. Tuesday, day before the Rule 5 draft, I'm going to be working the phones, working the lobby, trying to get some Rule 5 dope for the people. So we'll see. We might end up skipping next week, but that doesn't matter. We got plenty of stuff to talk about this week, or potentially we record on maybe a Thursday, and you know, we'll figure it out. But anyway, lots of stuff going on. Blake Snell signs with those dang dirty Dodgers, Dylan. That was a lot of alliteration right there. But what say you about Snell ending up with the Dodgers? It's like they're just compiling guys that throw 100 to 120 innings. They're going to have so many of these guys, the best of the best, 100 to 120 inning starters.
Yeah, I mean, the rich just get richer. Sounds like they're the favorites for Sasaki, too. They're getting all the pitchers they kind of lost last year. Well, not all of them, but, you know, Gonsolin will be back. Dustin May will be back. Kershaw may sign back, likely will. And they have their never-ending pool of pitching. Glasnow, Yamamoto. While Gavin Stone and Emmett Sheehan heal up, Bobby Miller will come up again. River Ryan is injured. Like, it's just nonstop. If they're all healthy at once, which maybe like 2027, 2028, it'll be pretty scary rotation.
I think we're going to see some of these guys get dealt. Like, yeah. So if they have Snell, Yamamoto, Glasnow, Otani, I think they're going six man. So. Yep. Just based on it, because you got, 90 innings out of Yamamoto last season. Glasnow, let's just pencil him in for 100. It's conservative. Let's say Snell has one of his Iron Man years after throwing 100, and he gives us 170, okay? Mm-hmm. Yamamoto goes up a little bit, gets up to 130, 140. You're going to have to still go, six starters here, right? So Sasaki. Mm-hmm. Sasaki still not super built up in terms of innings per season. Let's say he's 130, 140, 150 if you're getting real crazy with it, okay? They still need starts from somewhere else. And Sheehan's out for the season. Stone is out for the season. River Ryan is out for the season. Kyle Hurt, another arm that they had that maybe is more of like a piggyback starter, he's out for the season. But as you mentioned, they got some more depth. They got Tony Gonsolin. They got Dustin May coming back. I don't know how much you can count on Dustin May staying healthy for a full season. Once again, right? That's a concern. But you mentioned Bobby Miller, Landon Knack. Nick Frosso, I think, is going to be back and healthy this year. Justin Robleski, don't forget him. So you got some starting pitching there. They obviously have some depth. They have other starters that are close to the majors, but not on the 40-man roster like a Jackson Ferris, etc. I think some of these guys get dealt. I would imagine some of these guys get dealt for one bigger piece, maybe in the outfield. I mean, if they don't sign Soto or someone like that, like, and Teoscar Hernandez is not re-signed with the Dodgers. Right now, it's Pajes and Outman on the corners, and I can't imagine they're crazy about that. You know, Edmund probably center field. Maybe Mookie moves back to the outfield, but I believe they stated he was probably going to be in the infield again this year. It's kind of interesting how all of this roster construction could come together, and particularly Sasaki signing could signal that one of these pitchers gets moved. And even if guys have faltered at the major league level, you know, a package of Bobby Miller and, you know, Robleski and Knack might be enough to entice a team to trade a pretty substantial position player piece, you know, especially if there's some dollars attached to that guy and they want to get out from under it. You know, still multiple options remaining on all those guys. So they kind of have this cash from which to trade from as well. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the coming 2 months, maybe month, in terms of how this roster comes together. Because I would imagine that Sasaki's going to be posted within the next week. JJ and I had kind of guessed that maybe the Monday of the winter meetings or right before it's Sunday would maybe be an ideal time for them to post Sasaki. The time change in Japan, etc. Maybe they post them on Sunday night. Technically, it's Monday, right? So right at the kickoff, and then that gives them an opportunity for him to be there. Maybe he already has meetings set up with teams, etc., and can kind of go through the process in a more formal setting where everyone's centralized, etc., right? I would imagine that's how it's all going to sort of shake out. Once that happens, if he lands with the Dodgers, I do think that there's going to be some other shoes to drop here in terms of trades made. I do think that they'll deal from some of this depth, even though they've dealt with some injuries. I mean, we just mentioned four or five guys in the minors that have some major league experience. I don't even think I mentioned Ben Kasperias, who pitched in the playoffs too.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would consolidate, obviously, if I were them. If they were my dynasty team, I would be trying to consolidate, you know, a 3-1, a 4-1, you know, maybe throw in Lux or something like that and get a Crochet. If they don't get Soto, I imagine they're going to sign Teoscar. I kind of feel that he's probably going to sign back with them. But yeah, like, it does look like the outfield is a bit of a hole right now. So that seems like a priority. I guess with Betts and Edmund locked in at like shorter outfield, like they do have some versatility and flexibility there. But I think an outfield is kind of their priority if it's not Soto. And then, like you said, consolidate some of their pitching into some stud or something and go from there. But I mean, they had so many pitching injuries, like their pitching looks so thin and they won the World Series anyway. So it doesn't look good for the rest of the league, I guess, for me, where I'm sitting.
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny. People complain about a lack of like going after it, and then we get a team that does go after it. And like, whether it's a team you want to root for or root against, I think it is good to have super teams in the sense of like rooting against them drives people to watch the television, right? And it drives interest. the Dodgers were already kind of that last year. We've seen this before, the Yankees of the early 2000s. And, you know, there's been a bunch of them. But the thing is, like, baseball has as much parity as any sport. I mean, you look at, they've had, what, 14 or 15 different teams over the last 10 years in their championship game or series in the World Series. That's more than any other sport. I think it maybe might be tied with hockey. They've had a greater variation of champions over that 10-year span of time. I think it's maybe 8 different teams have won, because the Dodgers have won twice. The Astros have won twice. And then you have, like, the Red Sox won once. The Rangers won once. The Royals won once. You know, like, et cetera. So, like, you're getting a decent mix of teams. Like, I don't think that, because of how long the season is and the way injuries can impact a baseball season and just the way the ball bounces sometimes, I don't feel like it's like basketball, where, like, a true super team is like, just put them in the championship game, right? That doesn't really happen in baseball. Like, we've seen this crumble before and not necessarily work. So we'll see. You know, I also think it would be really interesting from an intrigue standpoint. Sasaki signing with the Padres is still what I believe to be the most interesting element and wrinkle in all this. If he joins up with Yu Darvish, it's very controllable. They're looking to cut costs. It's not going to be a problem with the contracts that they have. They can extend him out if they want to, after Machado and some of these other deals that they've signed are off the books. I don't know. That one makes a lot of sense. Him and Darvish team up to go against Ohtani and Yamamoto, and, like, it adds a little fuel to this rivalry that's already there. I think that would be really interesting. And it is a smaller market with someone he's familiar with, that does have playoff aspirations and, you know, potentially could pay him as much as anybody. Badler had brought up the Rangers, and they have money available in this potential 2025 marketplace. And they do have some history of signing international players from Japan, like Yu Darvish. So, you know, maybe there's something there. That would be really interesting, to have him in the same rotation as Jacob deGrom, fully healthy next year. So we're getting a little off track here with all that talk. But let's talk about another deal that did take place that we did not talk about last week. That is the Jonathan India for Brady Singer. I know that Joey Weimer went the other way alongside Jonathan India. India probably slots into the leadoff spot in that Royals lineup. Something they kind of sorely lacked was a guy with a high on base profile, I'll say, which is something that India fulfills. There's a little bit of power, there's a little bit of speed. I don't know if he gets a huge bump offensively because it's a downgrade in the park, but there's potential to get a decent amount of runs, and he could see 600 plus plate appearances, which, you know, when guys start to get up past that 600 plate appearance number, it starts to really boost their value with the counting stats over the course of a season, of course. So I don't like it for Singer. I don't think it fits his profile well. I'm interested to see how this works out. He was a target for me because I thought he was cheap and pitched in a good park and had pretty good ratios. It was a good bet last year, the year before, not so much, but what was inexpensive. Now I'm kind of fading him completely to the point that I don't think I'll have any Brady Singer at all this year. What's your take on both ends of this deal, Dylan?
Yeah. I mean, I wrote up the Michael Garcia blurb for our middle infielders. And he started off, Michael Garcia started off as the leadoff hitter, and then he was just so bad. His on-base was so poor that, you know, they're screaming, the Royals are screaming for an on-base guy to put at the top of the order. So he fits in nicely, Jonathan India does. I thought originally he might take, like, Michael Massey's spot at second base, but Roster Resource has him at DH, and that does make sense. So if he's DHing, because he's not very good defensively, if he's DHing, hitting at the top of the order, like, so less chance of injury by not playing in the field, he probably is going to be a lock for 600 plate appearances at least. He should be good. He probably, like you said, with the downgrade in the park, the projections actually have him kind of looking like what he did last year. I guess he was a bit of a down year, so it's regression positive to offset the park reduction. So they, you know, they have like 15 home runs, 13 to 15 stolen bases, 350 on base. So that'll be good for counting stats, especially runs at the top. And you're right about Singer. I didn't know what to think of Singer, and he was in a good park at the time. Now, obviously, Great American Ballpark, which is the worst park for runs, run environment in the majors. But the good thing about Singer is he's kind of a ground ball pitcher, so he'll keep it in the park for home runs a little more than, you know, your average pitcher getting moved over to the Reds.
Fair.
But yeah, I'm not. I was never really targeting Singer anyway. I think he was going early, especially in redraft leagues and NFBC. He was going pretty early because people liked what he did like a couple years ago. And so it's like, this is going to be the bounce back season. And he was showing good flashes last year. So, you know, he's going to take last year forward.
Was a pretty good year. I had him in a points league. And I had him in a dynasty, a deeper dynasty league. Mm-hmm. I did not have him in any NFBCs because, like, I think I remember, as you said, I think he went a little bit higher than I was willing to pay for him. But pitchers tend to go a little bit higher in NFBC overall. So,
true.
But yeah, now he's on my do not draft list. It's like, yeah, I just don't want to chance it with a guy like that in that ballpark. And, like, it's ground ball heavy, but it's not like Framber Valdez. It's not like it's straight up, you know, bowling balls to the plate that, you know, do nothing but drive ground balls. It's like a 47% ground ball rate. I would imagine that, you know, he's a guy that always has outperformed his like expected XERA and FIP and XFIP. I would imagine that those numbers we've seen in previous years, those like 4.5 XFIPs are going to be more like his ERA this year. That would be my guess overall. All right, we got some more news to talk, but it's 15 minutes in. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more potential signings, including an import from Korea and where he's going to fit in the FYPD rankings.
Just like a manager needs to plan to get that perfect matchup in the late innings of a game, you need to have a strategy to protect you and your family's future. That's why long before they ever sponsored the Baseball America podcast, I used SelectQuote when I needed to find life insurance. It was fast, it was easy, and it gave me peace of mind that I was getting the right policy at the best price possible. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience, helping over 2 million customers find over $700 billion of coverage since 1985. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less, while SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. You invest so much time to take care of yourself and to be the healthiest, best version of you. SelectQuote's exclusive policies can reward that effort. If you're in good health, they work for carriers to get you same-day coverage for up to $5 million with no medical exam required. And these policies are more affordable than you may think. You can get coverage for up to $1 million for as little as $20 per month. Head to SelectQuote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. SelectQuote. They shop, you save. Get the right insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/BA. Go to SelectQuote.com/BA today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/BA.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, and we are back. Baseball America Fantasy Podcast, Jeff Ponce, Dylan White. We're talking through some news and notes here before we end up going through our rankings. Of course, we didn't talk about this at all in the opening of the show, first 15 minutes. We mentioned nothing about the fact that we've been releasing rankings. We will be talking about our middle infield rankings. That is sort of the title of the show and the whole point. But we've had a lot of signings. The hot stove is hot. So we're going to keep on talking some more hot stove stuff. Second half of the show, we're going to get into some sleepers, some breakouts, some targets from the middle infield ranks. Really, really deep. We combined second baseman and shortstop this year. Already have catchers, first base, third base, or sort of corner infielders and catchers. That's already up on the site, 100 players ranked and written up with descriptions. Go and check that out for Baseball America subscribers only. We'll have outfielders out next week. We also updated our FYPD list the day before Thanksgiving. That now goes 100 deep. Some interesting names. I really dug in deep on video and stats. I looked at some athleticism testing. I talked to some area scouts. So I think I dug in deep and got some different names, particularly once you get past 50, a lot of potential gems that I uncovered. So we'll see. Always fun to put that together for the readers and the subscribers. But that said, we still got some more stuff. I wanted to talk about a potential FYPD name that I didn't write up because he hadn't been posted. But he just got posted. It's a Korean infielder. Actually played for Kiwoom, if I'm not mistaken, alongside Hyun Sung Kim, formerly of the Padres, now a free agent. This is Hye Song Kim, H-Y-E-S-E-O-N-G Kim. No relation, but they did play together in Korea. Sounds like it's speed with contact without much juice, less juice than the Kim that we're familiar with. I don't know if you have any takes on this one. Looking at it, I haven't written them up yet. I'll add them to the FYPD sometime later this week. Eyeing it, Dylan, I was thinking probably like where Sagano is, like 25, 26, 27. Like kind of a, he's 26. It's not super exciting. But it's kind of plug and play. So maybe like a second rounder in a shallower league for a competing team, or a late first rounder for a competing team in a deeper league. That's kind of how I viewed him. I don't know if you have any thoughts.
I actually have him a little higher. Well, I think he's going to go higher because, so I did some translations of his Asian stats to major league equivalencies, since I guess Steamer's not out on him yet. It actually works out. He's 25, I think. His translation looks like he'll be like a 270 hitter with a 330 on base percentage and like 10 home runs, like 8 to 10 home runs and 25 to 30 stolen bases. So that's pretty good. That is like a Michael Garcia, speaking of him earlier in the first half of the show, yeah. Michael Garcia with better OBP. So I think teams like that are competing, they might just grab him because he's still young, right? He's still 25.
He'll be 26 next season.
He'll be 26. So
yeah, it's a January birthday.
Right. So it's not like you're getting a Sugano who's like in the twilight of his career. And you're kind of playing for the immediate and just expecting a decline. This guy still has some, Hye Sung Kim still has some runway in his like age curves and stuff. So I actually think he's pretty good. So I might take him kind of in the back of the first. Like I'm competing. So I would take him if I can. I might even forego like the upside of like a Connor Griffin or a Bryce Rainer. Just if I want the immediate production, depends on my roster construction. But I think he'll be a pretty valuable contributor in 2025.
Yeah. I just feel like less impact than now I get him all confused. Hye Sung Kim, like, having less impact than that kind of worries me a little bit, that it's more like 5 to 7 home runs and like maybe the batting average is more like 250 because he doesn't hit the ball hard enough, so it doesn't drop enough. I guess you know, Sagano's 35 years old. I just assume you're going to plug and play with this guy immediately and he's going to give you like 32 starts. You know, like, plugging in, like, it's like drafting Kyle Gibson, more or less. So maybe a little bit higher makes sense. Like maybe it's more in the mid-teens. Maybe I'm being too negative. I'm just not super into the profile, even if I am competing, because I kind of got to find at bats for this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I think I'd be more willing to play the upside if there's somebody available like a few picks later and I could package this pick with something else. I might do that. I don't know. I'm not super into it, but I don't know. It's definitely something for sure. All right. The other one I was going to mention is Chris Bubich, apparently back to the rotation. that was pretty good prior to his injury. What say you? Would that be somebody you'd maybe target later in drafts, or is somebody in like a deeper league, you're in a 20 plus team league where deeper benches, deeper rosters, you know, maybe there's 28, 29, 30 man rosters. Is that somebody you start to take shots on? I feel like I would.
100% would. Right now he's going around like round 30 in a 15 team league in draft champions. And if he's going to be in the rotation, then I think it only should be higher than that. So he was a guy, he's in our Brian Slack and I, when we won the main event in 2023, he was a guy we spent $300 on in Fab in that week three or whatever it was, after he had like the 9 strikeout performance in San Francisco. We thought he was going to be like the next Strider. And so we bid big. Didn't work out that way, 'cause he basically got injured after the next start.
I remember this.
I definitely remember. It was a bleak week. But we bounced back and got over it. So he was showing promise there. I mean, he was only 25, I think. Took a step forward in that one start. And then he came back last year after the recovering from injury, and he was lights out in relief. He gained a couple miles per hour. He's in the pen, so you know he's probably letting her loose. So yeah. I mean, his xFIP in 2023, which was just 3 starts, was like 3.5, and then in the pen yet last year in 30 innings it was like 2.0, and projections, which basically have him as a reliever, have him at a 3.6 ERA. So just call that a 4 ERA as a starter with 9 K per 9. Like that's solid. So definitely worth more than a 30th round. He's probably like a SP6. So like I would be taking him at least in the first 23, and maybe even higher, maybe even earlier because of the upside. So I like it a lot, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think he's pretty interesting and somebody that potentially I would target. Shout out to Reese White. He's the king of Chris Bubich, so he's listening. There you go, Reese. Next one. I was a little surprised by this one. Red Sox are collecting old closers. They had Kenley Jansen last year. They still got Liam Hendricks, who they signed last February, who returned to the mound at the end of the season in the minors, not the majors, though. They signed Aroldis Chapman today. Does that mean that Hendricks is further behind? Is this just, hey, we need a good lefty in the pen? We didn't really have one of those. Brennan Bernardino was really the only one that we had. What do you say? What do you think about Aroldis Chapman? What are the chances that this is the Red Sox new closer?
I think there's a pretty good chance he gets the most saves on the Red Sox. I think even if Hendricks is healthy and everything looks on track, it makes sense to sign some insurance.
Sure.
Not spend too much. I think it was like $10.5 million for him for 1 year. Is that right? For Aroldis?
I believe so. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not cheap, but it's not breaking the bank. One season, not a big commitment. They still have Justin Slayton as well. So it's a pretty nice, three-headed pen there. Assuming Hendricks is able to pitch, like setting aside the makeup issues or the off the field stuff. Aroldis was pretty good last year still at the age of 36.
Yeah.
Like 14 K per nine and 16 K per nine the year before. So like, he's still effective. He's still bringing it up in triple digits. So, I mean, it's not a bad signing from a talent perspective, for any team really. So I don't think it really says that Liam Hendricks is, you know, behind schedule or is definitely not the closer. I just think it just makes sense as a team. You'd want to have that insurance anyway. So roster resource has them penned as like as co-closers, Hendricks and Aroldis. And I think that makes sense. And maybe one of them will kind of run with it, or maybe it'll just be whoever's facing the most righties or lefties in the 9th inning. That's who they'll end up picking.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, there we go. That's our hot stove news. Talked about 25 minutes of hot stove, but we had some good items to talk. I think every single person that we talked about here is fantasy relevant. Variety of league types, but all of them have some relevancy. All could be relevant in 12 team leagues for that matter. That said, let's move on to the topic of the show. Middle infield rankings dropped today on the site. wrote up 100 middle infielders at second baseman, shortstop. We combined both. There's prospects in here. There's recent draftees in here. There's established major league stars. It's the whole gamut. And I think we did a good job of kind of covering the relevant names. We had some names I think we maybe disagreed on at the end of the list here and there that missed. But overall, I went through all the prospect names in top 10s. I don't feel like we missed any of those. You know, we know our major leaguers. So I think we checked all those boxes pretty well. That said, you can check out those rankings. They're up on the site. Like I said, there's full blurbs for all of these players. We'll come out with outfield next week, rolling into starting pitchers. We did FYPD last week. So a lot of the rankings are going to be fresh and new, targeting the first week of January to have all the positional rankings up. And then you'll get the big combined list sometime in January. You'll get a prospect list sometime in January. And then we'll update it, do lots of content, all that sort of stuff. You know, keep it rolling as we continue to build out the fantasy baseball tradition here at Baseball America, right? It's like our third year doing this, Dylan, you know?
Vets.
I know. Can't believe it. All right. So let's talk some middle infield targets and sleepers. Let's each go with one. We're going to have an article up on the site on Thursday documenting two sleepers for each of us, two targets for each of us, as well as a fade. We don't like to bring the negativity, so we're going to leave the fade for print. We're not going to put that on here. We don't want to badmouth anybody on the air. That's not the kind of people that Dylan and I are. Dylan, I'll let you go first. Who's the target that you want to talk about today? You had some good ones.
Yeah, I went safe in quotes, and I just went with Christian Gamble, our minor league player of the year, Boston Red Sox second baseman. Just had an incredible season. I think got 180 WRC plus across like three levels, I think. He has a great projection. Robusto gives him a good projection for this year. Steamer gives him a good projection for this year. Of all the rookie eligible hitters, he's got the highest WRC plus on a 600 plate appearance. Pace, he's projected to have like a 260 batting average, with 15 to 20 home runs, 15 to 18 stolen bases. So, you know, just call that 18-18 as a rookie, as 22 years old. Has not even debuted in the majors. So once he's up on the Red Sox, he probably will be up for good. Notwithstanding any, you know, slumps or problems like Kobe Mayo or Jackson Holliday experienced. And if that's his projection now at age 22, you can imagine what it's going to be when he's at his peak when he's 27 years old. It'll be like a 280 batting average, 370 on base, 2020. Playing for a team, the Red Sox, with a great hitting lineup, I assume, with Roman Anthony coming up, Marcelo Meyer coming up, Jaron Duran, if he's still on the team, Tristan Casas, Rafael Devers. It's going to be a very, very incendiary offensive lineup in Boston, with Aroldis closing it out. I just picked Christian Gamble. I know he's not like he's very well known and people are targeting him. I just think that maybe you can target him more. I think with confidence you can go for him. Even if he's not up for the first 2 months and doesn't break camp out of spring training, I think he's still going to, you know, put up 15-15 season with and not hurt you in batting average at all. And like that's a guy you're going to have anchoring your dynasty team for a decade.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I like Campbell a lot. You know, obviously got to see a bit of him this year. And, you know, I kind of said like earlier today, I felt like he kind of made the season. He's one of those players like the breakouts like that, that make the season exciting. And he sort of did that. So kudos to him. I have an interesting name here that I'm going to invoke as a target. He is a little bit further down our list this year. He's had, I'd say, a down year and a half. Had an all-time low last year, Bo Bichette with the Blue Jays in his age 26 season. It was bad. Well below average in terms of WRC+. Didn't return fantasy value like he typically had. But he's dealt with a lot of injuries dating back to the second half of last season. You have a look at last season. You have a thumb injury. on June 21st, you have a knee injury on July 31st, quad injury on August 27th. He has neck spasms at the beginning of the season, then has the calf injury in June that he's on the DL more or less for 2 months. Dealt with a forearm injury over that time, and then a finger injury at the end of the season, where it ended his season. He had, I believe, surgery on a shattered middle finger, if I'm not mistaken. His right middle finger. So if you look at that production prior to all of these injuries, you go back to the first half of 2023. Bichette slash 317, 346, 496, all right? And over that 90-game sample in the first half, 15 home runs. Pretty good. Not bad, right? Since that point, Bichette has just not been right. Full healthy offseason. I think there's a chance, I think it's a good chance that Bichette gets moved in the next 2 months. I think if anybody gets traded on this team, I think it's going to be Bo Bichette. I think that they could rebuild and maybe try to compete this season and trade Bichette for pieces. You know, we saw what the Brewers did last year in terms of trading, you know, Corbin Burns. It's not going to be that kind of level of return, but it could be a pretty good one. He could be in a new park, new team, maybe a more competitive environment. I don't know. That brings something else out of him. If not, I think that he's going to a contract year this year. If the Blue Jays do decide to hold on to him, if he's healthy and hungry, you know, I don't think we're going to go back to that 2021 year, right? 29 home runs, 25 steals, 121 runs scored, 102 RBIs, 298, 343, 484. I don't think we're going to see those counting stats again. 91, 93 the next year, 24 home runs in 2022. Still put up 20 last in 2023, as we mentioned. Had the rougher second half dealing with some injuries. Still hit 306 in that year. I think we could see a bounce back this year. When I look at the pattern here, I say, all right, this is a guy that dealt with injuries, and he's been bad when he's been injured. It's all stuff that should heal itself. A finger injury should heal itself. The calf injury with time should heal itself. He wasn't playing baseball games, I would imagine, and re-aggravating the calf injury. The ability's there. He's 27 years old. He's going into his walk year. This is the kind of year where guys typically explode. I'm kind of back in on Bichette. The price is cheaper than it's ever been. I don't think he was this cheap even when he was a prospect coming up in redraft, right? You know, before his debut in you know, 2019 or whatever. Like, I don't think Bichette was this cheap. So for me, I'm kind of buying in on Bo Bichette as my target. Does that surprise you? You're a Toronto fan. Does that surprise you at all? What are your thoughts on Bichette for this year?
It doesn't surprise me at all. He's ripe for a breakout. His WAR since 2021 were on Fangraphs WAR 4.9, 4.8, 3.9. So he's like a 5 WAR player for 3 straight years, and then last year it was 0.3. Like, you don't just fall off like that at the age of 26. You do that at the age of 36.
Exactly.
So Steamer has him projected for, you know, 3.5 WAR, because you do have to count the 2024 season, the 336 plate appearances he had. So assuming that was real and a true indicator of his talent in 2024, he's projected to be a 3.5 WAR player with a 117 WRC plus, 20 home runs, 10 stolen bases. And if 2024 was due to injury and it wasn't really his true talent, then it's all upside from there. So I think it's a great call. He's only 27. He's going in the 11th round in NFBC Draft Champions, which is kind of ridiculous. I missed out on him in my DC that I did, but I think I would be taking him there. I'd take him in the 10th round for sure, just to make sure I get him, for exactly all the reasons you outlined.
Yeah. And I think that's why I'm buying back in. I think it's you look back every year, right? And there's always guys you're like, I should have bought back in on this guy. And I kind of feel like Bichette falls into that category of like a low risk bounce back. Like, the upside is here, and based on where he's going, or even where what you're going to pay and trade right now versus what you would have paid 2 years ago is a pretty sharp decline. So buy the dip, you know, that's what I'm saying. Fade the public, Dylan. Buy the dip. Do you want me to go with one of my sleepers here, or do you want to go in order and grab one of your sleepers?
Let's mix it up, Ponce. You go ahead.
All right. So this was one that I think people were a little surprised about last year. I can't imagine this guy was ranked in too many places coming into the season, at least. Had only 10 major league games coming into the year. Had a couple of home runs. Didn't do a whole lot. That's Tyler Fitzgerald I'm talking about. Did have a 2029 season, hit 287, 358, 499 in the PCL. But to show you how crazy PCL numbers are, that was a 103 WRC plus. So it wasn't like that was going to be, you're going to look at that and go, oh, well, okay, it's a PCL. Comes up to the big leagues, plays 96 games as a 26-year-old, 15 home runs, 17 steals, 280, 334, 497. What really sold me is I was digging into this, writing blurbs, doing our work. Steamer this year has him projected. It is for 651 plate appearances, but I think that that's reasonable. 22 home runs, 78 runs, 71 RBIs, 22 steals. And like the batting average is bad, 231. But 2020, as late as you're probably going to be able to get this guy in the draft, and he could have multi-position eligibility because he played a lot of shortstop. He's played some outfield in his career. He's played some second base, played a little last year, has played some third base, has played some first base. So this opportunity that this could be a multi-position guy as well. Giants always kind of have sneaky fantasy value, if that makes sense. So I feel like this guy is a good sleeper. He's entering his age 27 season, so he's still got a runway of maybe 3 or 4 more years of like good production. And Steamer is really conservative with players like this. So for them to be in on a 2020 season, kind of buying it. What say you?
Tyler Fitzgerald has a soft spot for me and Brian Slack, because in 2023, when we're making our run, as you can imagine, in the final couple of weeks, we're just scrutinizing every available player on the wire. And Fitzgerald caught our eye, and 2 home runs, 2 stolen bases in those 10 games. It was, we never had him. We had him in our chains. We never got him. We were kind of, you know, a bit conservative on it. And then just every home run and every stolen base was a dagger to our heart. And then last year, like you said, great season, in only 340 plate appearances. He had 15 home runs and 17 stolen bases with a 132 WRC plus.
Yeah.
Playing shortstop, like a premier position, 3 WAR, like that's pretty impressive. Age 26 with basically no minor league pedigree coming into it. So
if he was in the American League, he would have won the American League Rookie of the Year.
That's fair. Never thought of that. Guess he had to go up against Paul Skenes and Jackson Merrill this year. I think people are scared off by the 230 batting average, because he did have a 32% strikeout rate last year.
Yes.
So there will be some regression there, but you know, a 2020 player like Dylan Moore is like a 2020 projected player, and he's always valuable in leagues because you play him when he has a four game week. He's going to probably hit a home run, steal a couple bases. Fitzgerald's probably going to hit in the top-ish part of the order. I do like it. I think that's a good sleeper to pick, because he's definitely not someone that people are targeting as someone they want. He's not an asset. So if you get him thrown into a trade, you try to convince your league mate that this is, you know, it was a flash in the pan season and he's not going to repeat, then I think it's definitely something to go for.
All right. So give us your last name here.
Yeah. So I picked Adele Amador of the Rockies. One of my favorite prospects coming into the year. And then he had a much ballyhooed slump to begin the season. Probably one of the worst first halves of the minor leagues in 2024 of anybody. And just particularly hard because we had such high hopes for it. Just he had coming into the season, probably one of the better hit tools in the minors. And he just did not show it at all. But then he got super hot. It was something like 6 home runs in a week. And he got called up as an emergency starter for the Rockies, did not do so well. And I think that kind of solidified in people's heads that, yeah, this guy is not a real prospect. He's in over his head. He's not going to be able to contribute. But I still, Robusto still believes he's like a 2020 bat, especially in Coors. He's going to have good batting average and good on-base percentage, a better on-base percentage than Ezekiel Tovar because he doesn't chase like that. He's got a better hit tool. And I just think that people have soured on him too much. Kind of like what happened when Jason Dominguez had a bit of a slump and was hitting under 200, or Elvis Martinez was hitting under 200, and people just kind of jumped off the train saying, forget it, and moved on.
In the same league.
There you go.
All in the super young guys in the Eastern League don't hit, man, especially when it's like Latin players playing in the cold the first 2 months. Most of these guys have not played, because if they're coming from Colorado, maybe they played in Spokane, which is a little cold, but they may not have been there early in the season, right? They might have been in Fresno. Everybody else, it's like Florida, California, like with the Giants or California, and then it's all Florida teams. It's all like Florida State League teams. Yankees, Red Sox are in the Carolinas, but like, I don't think a lot of these guys necessarily see like 30 degree temperatures to play baseball in. Like, I remember seeing Andrés Giménez a whole bunch of years ago, and he looked the way like cornerbacks look in the NFL now, or like wide receivers where they had on like the ski mask thing with like the eyes cut out. He was like wearing that with like full sleeves, like covering his hands. Like, yeah, they look cold. I thought the same with Amador. The thing that brings me back to the table over and over again with Amador, as you said, it's awesome plate skills. 15.8% zone miss, 20% overall miss rate, 21.8% chase with a 44% swing rate. So like chase minus swing, 22.6%. That's not passive. That's swing decisions, right? Heart swing is pretty high at 76%. That's above average or around average. 103.5 mile per hour 90th. We do not see guys with these skills that hit the ball that hard. It's usually like 101, 102, right? He runs a little bit. He gets into the air pull a little bit more than you think. 33.7% air pull. The hard hit rate, 36%, is decently high. The bat speed grades aren't bad. It's still an overall like really good bat. I think like maybe the upside, you have to question if like he's going to get to like that 60-70 hit tool that we saw a year ago. But like the underlying metrics still tell me it's like, it's above average, the plus hit, you know? And I still think he can get to like 15 to 20 homers. I think there's a chance, especially in Coors, right? Mm-hmm.
Won't do it this year. I mean, he's only 22. No, he's not going to do it this year, but he's got 5 years to reach
that. Could be a second half call-up guy for them. Like, I think he's probably going to see some time in Albuquerque. That would be my guess. But, you know, he'll be 22 the first week of the season. He's turns 22 April 11th. I knew it was like the first week of the season is his birthday every year. So still super young on the 40-man roster. And guys that debut this young, it's usually a really good sign. They don't have to do anything. When you debut at 20, 21, that usually means you're going to have a pretty long major league career if you're getting up to the show that early, right? There's a lot of guys getting drafted playing college ball that are older than that. That'll be pretty good major league players. So I think just, you know, sometimes you do, especially when we get up to the majors, we get up to these higher levels, you got to put all that stuff into perspective. So I'm 100% with you on that, Dylan. Nice show, if I do say so myself. Not a bad one. We covered a lot of stuff, major leagues to prospects, some targets, some sleepers, a lot of middle infield talk, a lot of Sasaki talk, some Dodgers talk. It's all in the show, Dylan. To all our listeners, our subscribers, thank you very much. It's why we get to do what we do. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Once again, this has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast.
Cheers.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.